Hour number two, I want to thank those of you who prayed yesterday for a friend of mine who is dealing with some pretty, let's just say, ugly circumstances. One day I hope to be able to share this story. I just can't yet because I want to see how all of this is going to shake out. And you may be wondering, why are you even talking about this? Because the implications of this, I want to see what develops here for a variety of reasons. For one, I told you about a conference I went to some weeks ago. And I will tell you, there's a, let's just say there's a new dimension of understanding that's opened up in my life spiritually about the whys and wherefores of a lot of things. And I have been very curious to see how taking a different approach with some circumstances, how it really works out. And I'm beginning to see, it seems like some issues and circumstances and problems, not just in my own life and around me, but beyond, they're popping up all from everywhere. Just they're coming out of the woodwork. Issues I never expected to address with people. So I hope to update you on this very soon. I can tell you, again, those of you who prayed, I believe there's some very significant things that happened yesterday evening, and I'm waiting to see how those are walked out in the coming days. And in fact, the particular person I'm referring to, I hope a few weeks out, a few months out, maybe this person will come on this program and share his story with you. It will be an incredible story. I hope it is. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about the border. Some of you are still on hold wanting to talk about this. And I want to also share with you the perspective of one Ron Paul. And this gets to the heart of something that, again, we're not even talking about. Now, some of you may be immediately offended by the position Ron Paul takes here. I understand where he's coming from. And honestly, I'm quite curious if we were to take the approach he's describing, might we solve the problem without even having to do anything else? I'm not saying we don't carry out enforcement, but I wonder what would happen. Here is the perspective communicated quite recently by Ron Paul.
Well, the shutdown is not too significant in the scheme of things, but it's another thing that can stir up trouble when people react to it. But no, I think they're completely wrong. I don't like walls. I'm a libertarian. I don't want to wall people in. I don't want to wall people out. But I don't want free, open borders either. I think you have to remove the incentives for people to come. And they come because there's a welfare system here, easy access to citizenship. It's politicized. One group wants them because they think they can get the votes. But people should be able to come and visit and work. And but you have to get rid of the incentive system. No easy road to citizenship. This idea, I'm an OB doctor, and I ain't close to the border, so people would pop in and have a baby, and all of a sudden the next day they went to the courthouse to sign up for all the welfare program. And that's not the way citizenship should be handled. So you remove all these incentives, the welfare state, easy road to citizenship, and expose the people who are pushing this because they're looking for more voters, much, and you don't need a wall. Ron, you don't need a wall if that's the case.
So here's the position of Ron Paul. You don't need a wall. What you need to do is to cut off the incentives for them to come to the country in the first place. Now, are we having that conversations? Now, please, please, right now, I want you to just think for a moment. Put aside the, well, he's not for the wall, so he's not one of us. Don't go down that road. To Ron Paul's point, the broader issue here, have we even had the conversation about these programs that are attracting these people in the first place? Are we talking about it? Now, if you hear some of the Democrats campaigning, this is all they talk about. The social programs, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. By the way, and I've talked about this before, one of my frustrations, even thinking about something like Social Security, this is not what Social Security started out as. I tell this story, and God rest my grandmother's soul. I don't mind saying this, but I had a grandmother who was, of course, drawing Social Security, and rightfully so. I had a relative who one time assaulted my grandmother. You know, he was in jail. Do you know what he called about? He called the house to find out about his check. What kind of check? A disability check. Because he was abusing drugs. I'm dead serious. Is that what Social Security was for? You're out busting your rear end right now. Busting your rear end. And at some point, you hope to collect from what you have put into the system. And if you are a druggie, you can draw benefits. I mean, isn't any wonder this fund is going bankrupt, aside from the fact that many politicians should be arrested and charged with misappropriation of funds, of theft, because that's what they've done. They have, quote, borrowed from the Social Security account to put into the general fund. They've been doing this for years. Now, I don't want to go down this road again, but I've clearly communicated before. One of the things we should have done a long time ago is these programs, Social Security should have been a program where your money goes into a separate account that is yours. And at the end of it, you draw from it. And not only do you draw from it, if you should pass away before you draw from it, the funds in that account go to the whoever it is you designate. If it's a spouse, if it's children, hey, if you want to leave the account to a friend, you should be able to do that. It should be your money. It should not be thrown into a fund as part of some, there's no other way to put this, Ponzi scheme, because that's what it is. And if you operated something like this as a private citizen, you would be arrested and charged with a crime. Good morning, Carolyn. Welcome out of Mount Holly.
Yes, people are talking about this. They're very upset about it. I think we were raised, or my generation was raised, to be proud and work hard for what you have, and handouts were for the neediest, and we did take care of them. But this is, you know, I'm on Social Security, and that'll be the first thing that they'll go after to keep these people up. And like you said, I do want the borders, but if we cut off what they get when they get here, there'll be no reason for them to come.
Yep, you've got to deal with the incentive, Carolyn. You've made a great point here. You've got to deal with the incentive for them coming in the first place. And all the messages that have been communicating, including things like DACA, oh, wow, ultimately, if I just stick around long enough, then we'll be able to wear them down and get what we want. That's how it works. Very unfortunate. Coming up, we'll take a look at the day in history. Over on the text line, some responses to Ron Paul, what he had to say, basically saying, hey, we don't need a wall. I don't like putting up walls. He's saying, hey, let's get rid of the incentives. Texture here says, Vince, let me get this straight. If we become as impoverished as these third world places, we can remove the incentives for people to come here. Couldn't figure out why you kept talking about a transvestite. Then I realized you were talking about Ron Paul, not RuPaul. Come on, Daisy. What a comedian. Ron Paul theory I largely agree with. However, personalize it. Take the front door off your house. Remove any incentives inside for uninvited guests. Point is, you need both areas addressed, and I tend to agree with that. Another person not so kind, Ron Paul is an idiot. Spent 30 years in Congress, never did a thing. Just a lot of hot air. His kid is the same. Apples don't fall far from the tree. Oh, boy. Another person saying, Vince, Ron Paul, absolutely right. I would go further and find businesses that hire illegals. We should boycott businesses that do. Alan out of Greer, as an immediate cure, Ron Paul is spot on, but the Democrats will never do that. So a wall is the next best, but temporary fix. Vince, let me get this straight. We've become as impoverished as these third world places as we remove the incentives for people to come here. Build the wall now. Then we can have a conversation about citizenship. John out of Cowpens communicating that. There you go again, I guess, for your Charlotte listeners. What's going to stop them from getting in schools and healthcare system? We need to stop them from getting in here physically, period. There I go with what? For Charlotte listeners? Let me educate you about something. I don't do anything out of manipulation. Well, I'm going to appeal to this group or that group. I just share information. And I share perspectives that we're not necessarily all going to agree on. You and I don't always see eye to eye. I can't accept what Ron Paul is saying, and I agree with you on Social Security. I am a big wall supporter. Cutting off food stamps and welfare will stop the Spanish people. It will not stop the tourists coming to kill Americans. We need a wall. Hard path to citizenship and no help until you've been a citizen for 3 or 5 years. Just some of the ideas that have come across so far. Let's go out to Jerry in Rock Hill. Good morning.
Hey, Vince. I just wanted to say, you know, we spent hundreds of billions of dollars to send probes to look at these planets and stuff. Just take the money from NASA. I mean, we have spent so much tax dollars to go look at space in places that we're never going to go. We're never going to be there. Take the money from NASA. It's not going to hurt them at all.
So you're not a big fan of NASA?
It's not NASA. I have nothing against science or traveling in space. I'm just saying, through the years, we spent hundreds of billions of dollars at NASA. $5 billion to build a wall just is going to cancel out maybe one satellite program to go look at Pluto.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. By the way, on this wall issue, I told you that Donald Trump really jacked up Chuck and Nancy earlier today. And Mark has been very busy coming up with the audio from that, finally released by Fox News. So we're going to...
C-SPAN.
Oh, C-SPAN. Oh, boy.
We're still waiting on Fox News.
We're still waiting for Fox to get their act together on this one. But anyway, here is the clip. You can hear it for yourself. Donald Trump, and this is speaking to reporters about an hour ago. Listen up.
The economy is incredible. We're negotiating and having tremendous success with China. And I find China, frankly, in many ways, to be far more honorable than Brian, Chuck, and Nancy. I really do. I think that China is actually much easier to deal with than the opposition party.
Wow.
Really
exactly, Mark. That is brutal, isn't it? That is really brutal. Basically saying, hey, listen. Crying Chuck and Nancy are less honorable than the Chi-Coms. Wow. And you know what? He's right on so many counts about that. Because these guys are not honest. I know this is strong for some people to say, but the truth of the matter is, ideologically speaking, they're not very different at all. At least I respect the Chi-Coms. They're going to tell you who they are. They're Chi-Coms. They're communists.
I think we need to do everything we can to make sure we get the government people back to work.
Shut up. Let's go out to, I believe this is John out of Spartanburg. Good morning.
Good morning. This is John. And yes, sir, that the entire left Achilles heel is three laws: equality, gender equality, discrimination, and abortion. And that what's important about this, our biggest asset has been removed. His name was Trey Gowdy. That was for the right. He will be doing only plaintiff cases for social justice. That is by his own admission. He, when asked what he specifically will do, he said there's plenty of issues with Title IX, which is discrimination. In other words, there's 750 lawyers in that firm, and that he'll be shaping social justice policy. But our biggest asset's been removed, but that's kind of like dirty pool. But those three laws is how they rolled California. In other words, Rob Reiner was right. Archie had a lot to fear, and he was correct in that. And those are the tools that also drive immigration. It has to do with equality. This is not an equality issue. It is about economics. But you morph the two together, you know what I'm saying, Vince, I guess. But yep. Am I alone in that? But Trey Gowdy will only handle plaintiff cases and social justice cases.
That's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. We need to reach out to Mr. Gowdy, have a conversation. He has not been replying to my messages for some time. So maybe we can nail him down now that he's out of Congress. Let's go out to Carl. Good morning.
Good morning. Just wanted to chime in on the Ron Paul's suggestion. I think for the most part he's correct. I've often said some messages to other folks and social media that, you know, you've heard build it and they will come. If we tear it down, they will go home.
That's good.
We have, you know, the schools, the medical care, the welfare, all of those things we need to, I don't see how we're going to get it done, but it needs to be done. It needs to be stopped. And then we also need to start prosecuting employers who hire illegals. We need to do that. That will send many of them home. The wall we need, I think, because the drug dealers, the pushers, whatever, the mules, they're not coming up here to work. They're just coming up here to bring their stuff to get it in. So we do need the wall for that. So, you know, and the wall, cost of the wall is a minor thing compared to I think I heard it was like 0.08 of the budget, of the proposed budget.
Yeah, we're not talking about a lot of money at all. It's a drop in the bucket. You know that, and everybody knows that. It's a drop in the bucket compared to what we waste. At least we'd have something to see rather than going down a rat hole. Stay with us. Back to the Vince Coakley radio program. At this hour, president on the way to Texas for a border trip. Amid the ongoing government shutdown, the controversy over the funding for a border wall. Really good post here in social media by Justin. If government was to shut down long term, 38 million without food stamps, 2 million without rental assistance, 800,000 federal employees without paycheck, federal court slows to crawl, stock market plummets. My question is, how did we get so dependent on the government? This shows me that the government is too big to start with. What happened to self-reliance? And Justin drives it home with this last line, or relying on Almighty God to take care of you. Remember what I said earlier? Great post there by Justin. We'll take a couple of quick calls here, beginning with Luke in Lake Norman. Good morning, Luke.
Hey, Vince. I wanted to congratulate you on your reason and wisdom and a voice that we need more of in this country. But
thank you.
The problem, Vince, is the leadership in this country. And one example is, and I'm a conservative, I don't mind saying that, I'm a constitutionalist, and we recently had Mark Harris run for an office. And then the leadership, my point is this, the leadership in our nation today are cowards. And for Mark Harris the other night to run and not be willing to take on the press is a perfect example of what we're doing. If he is not man enough or doesn't have, you know, the mental capacity to answer questions from the press and the people and runs and sets off a fire alarm, why is that leadership? Where's the character of leadership there? And it's the same thing in the Senate and Congress today. They're professional politicians that really do not have any interest other than lining their pockets and being reelected. And the moment they're elected, they work on campaigning to get reelected. No one's concerned about this problem. And the leadership today, we need more presidents like, I think the greatest president, in my opinion, was Ike Eisenhower. And that's leadership. But Mark Harris, in my opinion, sir, you're a coward for what you did, and you have no right to be leading, representing anyone, if you have to run downstairs to get away from answering some questions.
Well, in and I'm not here to defend Mr. Harris, but his defense was his purpose in getting out of there was to get home to watch the game. That was the reason he gave.
So the game becomes more important then. That's the thing that Nancy Pelosi, her vacation is more important. Mark, your game is more important than addressing issues, questions, and I mean, you run for government. So
well, here's the other argument here. And again, I'm not defending Mark Harris so much, but should this speaks really to everyone. Should everybody be to the beck and call of the media to talk to them whenever the media wants them to talk? Are they obligated every single time the media shows up to have a conversation?
I think you are, or at least, walk by them with your head held high, not run like you have something to hide.
It did not. Let me just say, that didn't look good. I mean, there's no other way to say
exactly
that. It did not look good. The appearance there was not a good thing at all. I appreciate your call there, Luke, and what you said about leadership and being a stand-up person. It is absolutely important in this season. No question about that. Let's take a look at the day in history and go down and talk with our good friend Lonzo and then see if I can find a story in my collection that I can embarrass him with somehow. I'm just kidding. Good morning. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and no one believes you're just kidding.
I can't understand why anybody. Oh, boy, do I have a doozy for you after this. Four events in history beginning in 1863. This particular transportation, well, I think it's a transportation system across the pond opened up. What is it called? In 1863.
Well, if you're not certain if it's transportation, I mean, how am I supposed to figure that out? I don't know.
What is it? Well, it has a special name, and it's called London Underground. And they opened this in 1863.
Sounds like a place where indie bands play.
Yeah, exactly. It does. I need to look up and see when we got our first system like that, what year that was, whether they beat us at this particular punch. 1946, the UN General Assembly meets for the first time, and guess where they met? That's also interesting, because I'm not sure I knew this.
Philadelphia.
Wrong answer.
Well, I'm guessing it's not New York.
You're right.
New Jersey?
Nope.
No one would go there.
Mark, you want to give this a shot? Where did the UN meet for the very first time?
Mark's house, Switzerland.
You know, you're closer. It was actually London. That was the first time they met, was in London, 1946. Pretty amazing. 1984, this chain debuted their Where's the Beef ad campaign featuring 80-something Clara Peller.
I miss Clara. That would be Wendy's.
Yes, I love those commercials. Where's the beef? It's under the pickle. Yeah. I could really have fun with this. You ever go to these restaurants and see some of the food they supply sometimes? The burger really is about the size of a pickle. And sometimes you'll go to a chicken place and they have some extremely malnourished birds. It's like, where are they? What is this, miniature? Anyway. 2003.
Sound like the beginning of a stand-up act.
It does. Maybe I should come up with one. 2003, this country withdrew from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. It's one of the countries we're trying to deal with now, the issue of nuclear weapons. Which one is it?
North Korea?
You're correct. Very good. You have finished well here. Now, let's tell you about a bizarre story about a guy who really went to great lengths to conceal a handgun. People conceal guns. They conceal weapons. Well, there's this one guy in Golden Meadow, Louisiana, made headlines with this bizarre method of concealed carry. Now, is this a walk-around method of carrying or simply a last-minute effort to avoid criminal charges? Well, deputies at this parish jail found a gun concealed, and do you want to guess where it was?
Don't be booty in this answer.
In an orifice?
You hit it on the head. That's exactly where it was. A zip gun, and that's where it was. He put it where the sun don't shine.
I'm guessing it could still walk around.
Good thing that thing didn't go off. Oh, goodness. Well, we got to the bottom of that story. Oh. Thank you, Lonzo. Have a good one. Back here at the final stretch of the Vince Coakley radio program on this Thursday. You know, one of the things, and we had a caller earlier who made reference to this, to the idea that if these politicians really had serious empathy and understanding for the people who are affected by the border, they might act very differently. Case in point, Sabine Durden. This is a story reported by Breitbart. And she's characterized as an angel mom because she's lost a loved one. I would bring my son's ashes for show and tell. She offered to bring her dead son's ashes to show House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senator Chuck Schumer the consequence of not securing the southern border. Durden was responding to a proposal Trump 2020 presidential campaign manager Brad Piscali made to Pelosi and Schumer. Would Nancy, Chuck, and their friends in the media have the courage to look an angel mom in the eyes and lecture them about a wall being immoral? That's what he wrote on Wednesday. Democrats need to stop putting politics ahead of the safety of American citizens. Good for him. And Ms. Durden is the one who responded. She responded to this, I would volunteer and bring my son's ashes for a simple show and tell because clearly they don't want to understand anything else. By the way, Sabine Durden is a legal German immigrant. I am at the point where I believe these folks don't have any conscience at all. They really don't. There is no conscience about this. By the way, Durden's son, Dominic Durden, came to the U.S. with his family back in 1992 at the age of 10. He was a 911 dispatcher for the Riverside Sheriff's Department, had dreams of becoming a police helicopter pilot. He received awards, posthumously, for his extensive community involvement and volunteerism. An illegal alien driving without a license and with two prior... This just ticks me off. Two prior DUI convictions slammed into Dominic Durden and his motorcycle, July 2012, killing the young man. Oh, by the way, do you know how much time he spent? Anybody in here want to guess how much time he spent in jail for killing Dominic?
A year?
You want to try, Mark?
30 days.
Mark is right. It's 35 days.
Oh, man.
35 days. He's closer to that. 35 days for killing someone in a DUI accident after two priors. Ms. Durden carries the ashes of her only child with her in remembrance. See, this is the kind of nonsense, deadly nonsense that goes on when we don't secure our borders. I've talked to so many people in recent days experiencing pain. And it's especially difficult when you have situations that are entirely preventable. Preventable. This is what unprincipled politicians are subjecting the rest of the nation to when they hide illegal immigrants. And can I repeat again? Because I don't mind saying this. I believe that if there is any circumstance where an illegal immigrant commits a crime especially when someone is killed, and there is a connection to sanctuary city laws in any form, that person ought to be charged with a crime. You helped facilitate that crime. I stand by that. John in Charlotte, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vince. How are you? Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
You know, at a certain point, when you talk about unprincipled, I mean, they all are, right? I mean, it just anymore, I guess I'm kind of getting tired of listening to it, because the thing is, you've got the Democrats who are never going to go for it because it's their new voting block. You've got Republicans, mostly, who aren't going to go for it because that's against big labor. And the other thing, too, is all of them, the hypocrisy is horrendous, because they're not going to go to the schools that all these kids are going to come to. They're not going to have to, you know, if they get sick, they'll be able to go to the doctor by making a phone call. I mean, they won't be affected by any of the fallout of doing this.
Yep.
And they're, you know, it's kind of like, you know, term limits and everything else. It's great to talk about when you're running. But once you get into the boys club, why the heck would you want to change the rules?
Exactly. You're right about that, John. And I share your cynicism about this. Rather unfortunate. Appreciate your call. I want to try to get to a couple of people before we go. Pete in Charlotte, good morning as well.
Hey, good morning, Vince. Can you hear me?
Yes, I've got you.
Vince, it just got me thinking as a father now, and what happened to that child, you know, to the DUIs, and then the gentleman spent 35 days in jail. If that's our system, if that's our justice system, like, I just can't imagine if that were me, you know, I'd have to feel like what's overwhelming right now is like taking matters into my own hands at that point to find justice. So I don't know what that looks like, but that's a scary feeling.
Yep,
it's. Your comments on that.
It's, well, I'm with you, man. It's really painful, because yeah, there's part of this is justice. The other part is the healing for this. It's so much a long term thing, and in many ways, someone in this position will never really get over it. And again, when it's preventable, it makes it even more difficult to bear. We're back tomorrow, including Faith Focus Friday. Have yourselves a great day. God bless you.